Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've spent much time thinking about what the Exodus was really all about. You know, when Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. And why did they spend so much time wandering around a not particularly vast area? And certainly it was no great distance really from Egypt to the promised land. Yet they spent 40 years in. What is it that God was teaching them? And because it is included in the Bible, what is it that God is going to teach us? Or wants to teach us? Well, today I'm not going to unpack this whole story, but I do want to make a suggestion. That there were some really good reasons as to why they were there. Now, we may not find this very comfortable, but then I've never found being challenged very comfortable, so what's new? First, the Israelites were there in the desert by God's design. Listen to this. They wandered in the desert or in the wilderness. They didn't wander into the wilderness. They wandered in the desert. They didn't wander into it. Their location was not accidental. It had a lot of intentionality to it. Now, sometimes we hesitate to speak of trials and tests and any other sort of difficulty as being designed by God. But I find great comfort in knowing that God is sovereign when things have fallen apart. If I were to think that God was surprised by the events that send our lives, or certainly sends my life, into spirals of despair and disappointment or great sadness, I would lose hope that his love and goodness and presence and power is at work in my life. I read something like this the other day. It was a conversation and it begins, "I still don't understand why this tragedy had to happen." It didn't have to. This was no plan of God's. God never needed evil to accomplish his good purpose. It is the human state which has embraced evil and God has responded with goodness. What happens in a tragedy was the work of evil and no one is immune from it. But it hurts so much. There must be a better way. Oh, there is. Surrender your independence from God and give up being his judge and know God the Father for who he is. And then you'll be able to embrace his love in the midst of your pain. Instead of pushing him away with your self-centered perception of how you think the universe should be, God has entered our world to be with us and to be with each person in the midst of their pain, confusion, and death. The thing that I found and came to terms with years ago, that was what the cross teaches us. God enters into the worst that the world can give us to identify with us and journey in the midst of it. The challenges of trouble and sorrow have been many. Hunger for resolution, for reunion, for restoration. These are the deep longings of our distress. It is a hunger that humbles. Did you notice in our reading from Deuteronomy, Moses recalled the time of the wilderness. And he said, "The Lord humbled you by letting you go hungry. And then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your fathers had not known, so that you might learn that we humans do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." The God who loved Israel let Israel go hungry. And I believe that the God who loves us so very much and is deeply fond of you and me will lead us into times of heartache and trouble. He does not drop us into the trouble, but because of the human condition, such trouble will come, and he will lead us into it. There really was no other way to get from Egypt to Israel, was there? Unless you went by boat. But they had to go through the wilderness. They had to be led into it. And sometimes for us to get from where we are to where we need to go is going to be trouble. And that's kind of a living reality. You can't avoid it. It is the human condition. He will not shove us into it. It might feel like that sometimes. And he won't abandon us in it. And sometimes it can feel like that too. But he comes as a fellow traveller, and he will lead us in it. Such a time can humble us. We can feel inadequate to fill the role we find ourselves in for week after week, powerless due to the distance, incapacity, and sometimes disturbed by the presence of death that is waiting in the shadows. But such a time can humble us by uncovering the things that perhaps we don't want to face up to, the things that we don't want to admit, the sins that beset us, the habits that we've got into that we feel really comfortable about and think that they're okay, but actually come between us and God. The things that separate us from God, the things that separate us from ourselves, the things that separate us from others, and the things that separate us from creation. When circumstances lead us to complain, we show people what's inside our hearts. Kent Hughes puts it this way, and let me say, I don't like what Kent Hughes says. He says, our complaints really are never caused by our outward circumstances. Instead, they reveal the inward condition of our hearts. Ouch. You know, sometimes we don't like looking in a mirror, do we? Because what we see looking back to us, The thing is that God loves us too much to leave us that way. And trying to juggle responsibilities while handling our fears and uncertainties can stir up the angry bug. As one father tells it, his older son said, Dad, you're in a foul mood. Well, I would have had the courage to say that. However, and he was right, says the father. And I was humbled. And I had to look in the mirror and say, I'm frustrated and I'm taking it out on my kids right now. Because of the deeper issues, feeling like I need to be in control and that such things should go my way and that I'm entitled to a life without inconvenience. I recognize myself in that statement. Trials unearth our deeper issues and reveal the idols of the heart and also show how we are living independently of God. Now, we need to learn that tests come in different forms. It's not only the trial that serves as the test. Good times are a test too. Too often we consider a time of trouble as a test, but not the thing when things are going well and we have plenty. When the Israelites were hungry, God told Moses, I'm going to supply the Israelites with food and this will be the test. Hunger wasn't the biggest test. The manna was. So it's not just what you do in the hard times that shows what's in your heart. It's also what you do when things are going well. The harder test, I believe, is living with daily dependence on God when things are going good. Hunger is a test, but so is fullness and being satisfied. When the difficulties we're experiencing have passed, will I still be as dependent on God? Will my dependence on Him be my daily choice? When things are difficult and all is not well, someone may come to us and say, how's it going? And often the reply is, well, I'm taking it a day at a time. I've given that answer. I'm taking it one day at a time. But now I realize that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should have that attitude all the time, not just when there is trouble. Even when things are going really well, we should be taking it one day at a time. When the manna fell from heaven, God told the people to take only what was necessary for each day. Now, I wonder how many here, if the manna fell, you were hungry, it was all lying around, and you were told to take enough for one day at a time. Let's be honest for a moment. How many of you would be collecting more than you need for that first day? Interesting, isn't it? And this is, be prepared. And of course we're told that that's reasonable and sensible, isn't it? You do reasonable and sensible, you've been thinking through it. So here's food, I need more. But what had God told them to do? Take enough for the day. Yes.
I packed a picnic for John and I this morning. And he thought
I'd be out
for a week.
Only room.
For the whole congregation.
Yeah, we could have it in the morning. Anyway, now I've lost my thought. You wonderful people, you. They didn't take, those who took more, because it went rotten and had worms in it, didn't it? And it was wasted. So there was actually no value in this setting, in this circumstance, of taking more than was needed for the day. Because what God wanted them to depend on Him. That was the lesson, wasn't it?
Trust.
I'm giving you enough, take only for enough, and see, now we'll just test whether you actually do trust me or not. And I recognised I'd fail on that first day. The next day, I think probably I would say, well, that was a bit of a mistake taking more than I need. I'll just take, I'll eat well today. And then I'd be sick because I'd eaten too much. And it's interesting, isn't it? But when it comes to our dependence on God, how do we do? See, in the same way, God wants us to depend on Him constantly, not just when things are difficult. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, or do you just slide through it and sort of not realize that you've said it? Give us this day our daily bread. We need Him daily, one day at a time. No matter if we are hungry or full, we should ask, how can I bring honour to Jesus today? How can I show my dependence on God today? How can I spread joy today? How can I live faithfully today? How can I find my security and rest in God alone today? Now, in the wisdom of Jesus, He said this very worrying thing. He said not to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. I blow that all the time. And I really don't need to be worrying about tomorrow, because the day's got enough to worry about in itself. But I have this obsessive compulsive need to be worrying about tomorrow. Where is my trust? One day at a time, in prayer. In full dependence on a good and sovereign Father. Dependence on self is slavery. Dependence on God is freedom. So whether your life right now is in a really good space, or you're struggling in the journey, go with it with God. One day at a time. Sometimes I think when we use that term, one day at a time, it kind of has a depressive feeling about it. Like, well, you know. But when we actually line it up with the call of faith to one day at a time, it is saying, God gives me what I need for this day, and I trust Him for it. Father, we struggle with this. We struggle with this call of living one day at a time, trusting You for all that You intend to give us. And we understand, but we can sometimes make it the excuse that You call us to store things aside. The Scriptures tell us that. We recognize that when things are going well and there's plenty, it's very easy to just park You to one side and just live in the God of the moment, which isn't You. It's become idolatrous. And yet in each day, whether things are going well or whether we're struggling, You invite us to be dependent on You, because You have so much freedom for us. You have so much love to pour into our hearts. You have so much strength for us, so much sense of fulfillment. You have an identity for us that is secure and safe and gives meaning to our existence. So, Lord, I pray by Your Spirit that You would anoint us afresh, that as we evaluate each thing we do, that above all else, we will trust You with it one day at a time. And Lord, as we look at our homes and our families and all the complications of as being part of a family, it's so difficult sometimes to be in that place of really trusting You with our kids, with our circumstances, with our health. But you see the big picture. And you never abandon us. And you say, take my hand. Let's journey this day together. And let's do that one day at a time. Amen.